Matthew 17, 20 says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that is a seed that you will sow, then you can speak to your mountain. Now, when it says mountain, not talking about a physical mountain, it's talking about problems, needs, spirit, mind, body, family, finances, whatever it may be. Jesus is saying in this scripture that we are to have faith. Faith which is God-given. Faith which is a seed. That is a seed that you can plant. Notice he did not say that we need more faith. We have all the faith we need. He said God has given to every person the measure of faith. But you don't have more need more faith so that it can grow and become big enough to move mountains. No. He said something more fundamental to the eternal laws of our Heavenly Father. From the beginning, when God created everything that you can see from what you cannot see, the eternal laws of seed time and harvest were established. And then God sent His Son, Jesus, to show us what He Himself was like and to demonstrate His love, His principles, and finally to give His life on the cross as a ransom for sin, to rise again from the dead, to be alive forevermore, and to remind you and to me of this eternal law of sowing and reaping, of giving and receiving. The seed of giving is the seed of faith. But the seed has to be planted before we can speak to our mountains of need to be removed. Seed planting comes first. Then and only then do we have a Bible right to speak to our mountain of need and command it to be removed, to get out of our way. Now, this may be a totally new concept to you, but hold on. I believe this will be worth waiting for and worth something for you. You see, God promises in His Word that when we give to Him as our source, He will multiply it back with such an increase that it will be bigger and more powerful than our mountain of need and our problems. Now, listen to this. This is powerful. It's also logical. It's also scriptural, backed up by the Bible. It's workable and it is believable if you'll just believe it. Every farmer understands this. He prepares the soil. He puts seed in the ground first before he expects to receive a harvest. Any farmer knows that. Anyone who's ever planted a seed, anyone who's ever planted a garden knows that you have to plant seed first. I remember when I was a little boy, my mother took me out in our backyard there on the farm where we were living, said we're going to plant a garden. And we got seed, we began to dig little trenches, and she saw that I did not have any idea what I was doing. And she reached into her apron and she pulled out a package of tomato seeds. And on the front of the package was a picture of red, juicy tomatoes. And I said to her, Mother, is that what it's going to look like? She said, yes, son, not today, not tomorrow, not next week, but the day will come when you and I will come out here and these vines will be full of tomatoes and we'll gather them in. Well, I got a picture. I got a glimpse of the harvest. And I was out there checking on those tomato plants every day, and those vines began to go around the little wire things that we put in the ground, and pretty soon the little stubs came out, nubs I called them, and they started to turn. They were one color, then they became kind of yellowish, and then they started going toward red, and they got more red and more red, and they got bigger and bigger, and the day came when my mother said, it's harvest time. And we went out and we gathered in armloads full of tomatoes. I got a glimpse of the harvest. Now, look over at Luke 6:38. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Luke 6:38, where Jesus himself said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is what I call seeding for a miracle. We act first, and then God's blessing comes upon us. It's what we do first that becomes the seed, such as being pure in heart, such as forgiving first, such as making peace first, such as hungering and thirsting for righteousness first, such as seeking the kingdom of God first and giving first. Now, in the Old Testament, you can read it in the Bible, giving was based on receiving first, and then you gave after you received. You received after you gave. That is how they paid tithes in those days. By giving one-tenth or 10% to God as a debt that they owed. But Jesus, you see, came to pay this debt that man could not fully pay because of his sin. He paid it when he went to the cross for you and for me. then he restored giving to its original purpose. Remember, back in Genesis 8:22, the seed came first. As long as the earth remains, the scripture says, there'll be seed time and harvest. So seed came first and then harvest followed. Notice the scripture says seed, time, and harvest. Well, that's what I learned with those tomato plants. Planted seed and then time went by and then harvest came. Notice the progression of those three words. You know, Elijah in the Bible understood that. He went to a little woman in the little city of Zarephath that God had told him to go to. She was cooking her last meal. The drought had destroyed everything. She had just enough meal in a barrel, just enough oil in a cruse for one last meal. And the prophet said, give me the first portion, for thus saith the Lord, if you'll do it, your meal barrel will not diminish, your cruse of oil shall not fail. And she obeyed. And the next time they were hungry, there was enough. And the next time they were hungry, there was enough. And the next time they were hungry, there was enough. And the next time they were hungry, and the next time, and the next time. It's estimated by historians that she cooked some 1,000 meals out of that empty meal barrel and cruse of oil until the drought was broken. You just can't outgive God. When you sow, you have a right to expect a harvest. And as a Christian, your giving is not a debt that you owe, but instead it's a seed that you sow. And Jesus himself fulfilled the law of tithing by paying the full price on the cross. The seed that Jesus gave, that is his life, was multiplied back when God raised him from the dead. That act took away the dread of having to pay and acting out of fear and obligation. Yes, now we are still directed to tithe, don't misunderstand, but not as a debt. You see, there's a difference. So it's not something that you owe, it's something that you sow, and you can sow it. And whenever you face a mountain of need, no matter what it is, that's time to plant your seed. Praise God. Father, in the authority of Jesus' name, I pray that you'll add your blessing to this word today. That bless it right into your spirit, right into your spirit and your mind. You'll get it and you'll hold on to it and you'll become a seed planter in Jesus' name. But as a seed planter, you got a right to expect a harvest.